Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Is an assault on Iran.
When Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats want to defend him, I think that's a very bad thing for this country. I think that's a big losing argument politically, too.
How many Americans does a terrorist have to kill before they join with us? Is 600 not enough?
Well, if I had an eye problem, I would go to it.
The president of the United States has not done anything impeachable. He hasn't done anything criminal. He hasn't even done anything wrong.
Hey, happy Monday morning out there. How's everybody doing?
It's Monday.
Are we awake?
Yay, Monday.
All right. Glad to hear that. A little snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Kids were praying for more snow last night, which I told them wasn't going to happen.
No, that was the perfect snow for me. I had nothing to do. There was football on TV. I had football on. I could watch the snow out the window. I was home, and it was a Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, it couldn't have been better timing.
Oh, man. We're going to get Ackerman in here later, right? And what a great sports weekend.
Yeah.
Holy cow. How about those Chiefs?
Oh, my gosh. I am so glad. I was talking to our friend over in Campbell X this morning, and I was like, he was like, it was tough to be a Chiefs fan for a little while there, wasn't it? And I was like, I was so glad that Mia had a basketball game because I recorded the show, the game.
All right.
So when I got back, and I kept my phone off, I had no idea what was going on. So when I got home and turned it on, I could watch the first quarter really fast and get through it. And then I was like, oh, good. I didn't have to sit through that horrible first quarter in real time.
I forgot the game was on, believe it or not. And I checked my scores on my phone, and I'm like, Oh no.
I mean, it was ugly.
So they're down 24 to nothing. I'm like, oh no, this is awful.
But not to be outdone by three, you know, touchdowns in the first quarter.
I turned it on after the half because I checked my scores again, and suddenly I'm like, wait a minute.
What is happening?
How did that happen?
Yeah.
Apparently they set a record. They're the only NFL team to ever be down 24 points in the first half and then be leading at halftime. That's something.
I just hope that that means the start of good things to come. They're going to have a tough, you know, it's going to be tough. Titans look good, too.
51-31 was the final score, in case you missed it. And now they get to host the AFC. So that's in their corner, right?
Yes.
The Titans are tough, but at least they get to host.
I was just thinking about that the whole, I mean, I like football, but the bye thing,
like
it's supposed to be such a good thing to have the bye, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, we're the best and we get the bye. And I get with football, you need the rest and you need the recovery more so than a lot of the other sports. But the bye does not seem to be great all the time because it gives teams that have momentum to get to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And like they had to take a break. So it's kind of weird that that's a positive thing. I don't know.
Ravens are out.
That was crazy too. Yeah.
Patriots are out. I mean, it's going to be a good Super Bowl. Looking forward to it.
I'm hoping for Chiefs Packers.
Me too.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Chiefs Packers.
I'm not a Packers fan.
Why?
I like their quarterback. I just don't like the team very much. I don't know. Anyway. But I'll definitely be rooting for the Chiefs. I'll have to say that.
Yeah.
They're sort of our hometown.
Why don't you like their team?
It's a way back thing, right? It's just one of those things from years ago. I just never liked the whole Packers thing. And they just never grew on me. It's like bad cheese or something.
Well, as a Vikings fan, I don't, you know, I'm not a big Packers fan. But one of my roommates from college was a huge Packers fan, so I watched a lot of Packers games in college.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't hate them. I don't love them, but I don't hate them.
That just what it is. I've never lived there. I don't have anything specifically against them.
You don't like Brett Favre?
I liked the Favre. I liked watching him play. Just wasn't always rooting for the Packers. That's all. Maybe it's the cheeseheads. Maybe that's what it was.
I didn't care
at all. And then we went to a game up there, and I like them more now.
Oh, yeah. Like I can imagine the experience at Lambeau Field.
It's
yeah.
insane. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So we're going to catch up on the news cycle here coming up. We've got Hans von Spakovsky this morning, as we normally do on Mondays at 6:10. What a change a few days makes, huh? A few days ago, you watched the headlines, and there are tens of thousands of people protesting in the streets in Iran, screaming death to America. Donald Trump tweets to them in Farsi, and yesterday they're in the streets chanting death to Khomeini. So it's an interesting turn of events in about a week's time in the country of Iran. So we're going to update you on what's going on over there this morning.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
The Democrats' instinct is to blame America first.
This president is impeached for life.
Nobody's done anything dumber than this.
Can you imagine they want us to call up and speak to crooked, corrupt politician Adam Schiff?
To release them knowingly back to the public, that's just stupid.
Chiefs on three, one, two, three.
Ah, how about those Chiefs?
Woo-woo!
Had to play that one again for you. Cheer Tom Homan. Tom Homan, that's one of my favorite non-politicians in Washington, D.C. I wish he was still in charge of ICE. But he's talking about a case over here in Illinois where they released somebody back into the public with a criminal record. Listen to his soundbite here. Cut number 23, please.
Releasing a public safety threat back into the public to reoffend when you can turn them over to ICE legally, to release them knowingly back to the public, that's just stupid. And there's no law they're going to point to that can convince me or any other patriot that it's right to release somebody that's in the country illegally in violation of federal law and refuse to hand them over to the federal agency. They wouldn't do that to the FBI. They wouldn't do that to DEA. They wouldn't do that to HF. Only ICE.
Yep. True. True that. And glad that he's pointing that out. And what I've said on several occasions, and this applies to what happened in San Francisco and elsewhere, even right here in Missouri, where we know people had been detained in other states on an ICE detainer. The sanctuary city let them go, and they went out to commit additional crimes, including murders. I think that the prosecutors and the city leaders in those towns should also face criminal charges if and when that happens. I'm just waiting for somebody like Bill Barr to have he'll take somebody like that to have the guts to stand up and do it. This attorney who got murdered over in Illinois, what's the story you were reading on that this morning?
So the state's attorney is looking into potentially looking at the death penalty from the federal standpoint.
Good.
So there's three cases that he's looking at because there was the crossing of state lines before the homicides. Maybe some sort of technicality there where they can look into the death penalty in Illinois.
Do an end run because the crazies up in Springfield, Illinois won't allow the death penalty?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this would be federal.
Good. It's good.
I need more information on that case. Something does not sit right with me on that attorney murder case. You don't just kill strangers like that. There's more there.
He was in debt. I mean, from the things that I've read, he's a 28-year-old pharmacy student. There's got to be more to it than just that, I guess. But he was in debt up to his eyeballs, and
picked this guy to rob.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this guy had money, but I don't know why he thought he was going to get money from this guy. I don't know.
I just think there's more there.
They haven't been able to trace any relationship between, any connection between these two. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get that either. But I'm glad they're seeking the death penalty. That makes me happy. I don't know if I can't point to statistics that tell me the death penalty is a deterrent. But what I do know is that it stops that individual from ever repeating that crime. I don't know if anybody stops before they commit a murder and says, I better not do that because I'm going to die. They're going to put me to death if I do it. Because I don't think criminals think about that.
Yeah.
But the individual who's a murderer, who commits a crime heinous enough to call for the death penalty, you know one thing for sure. They're going to sit in jail for 25 years while some mindless liberals try to free them. But eventually when they're put to death, one thing's for sure, they won't kill anybody else. That's all it comes down to for me.
Yeah.
That's where I am.
I definitely think there's cases where it should definitely be
absolute should never be taken off the table as an option. There are people bad enough out there who certainly deserve that penalty.
I think there are people bad enough out there who certainly deserve it, but I still have a problem with the government being able to kill citizens in any capacity. There's enough margin for error, in my opinion, that I'm not a huge fan of the death penalty.
The reason the death penalty is not a deterrent, in my opinion, is that it takes too long. There's no immediate justice there.
Well, that's for sure.
Right.
Because of all the
right.
appeals.
Right. There's just no immediate justice. So, therefore, why would
they
deter
realize
anybody?
They don't want to be put to death once they're being told that they could possibly be put to death? It's like, oh.
Didn't I read where the last public hanging in the United States took place in Missouri? I think it did. Back in the early 1900s sometime.
It's very barbaric.
Yeah.
That is a deterrent. Watching that would be a deterrent. Like, if you were a horse thief in the Old West, you knew what was going to happen if you got caught.
Were people, like, forced to watch that stuff happen? Or was by choice? You're like, I want to go see
around.
This? Yeah. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Like the final scene in, any number of movies. That's people gathered around just to watch that. So I'm just saying.
There's something wrong with that,
I'm glad that we're not doing that anymore.
Well, yeah. I'm not calling for that, but I'm just saying I think it was more of a deterrent when it happened more quickly. And these days, it's done behind closed doors and, nobody except the person involved really understands what's going on. You know, I want to point out something. Last week, we're in Jeff City on Wednesday. Seems like longer than a week ago. Seems like longer than 4 days ago.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, we asked the governor, who recently made the decision to have refugees still come to this state, along with, 24 other Republican governors. And we ask him, because a lot of conservatives have legitimate questions about whether or not this is a good idea. I said, Governor, a lot of the folks that call into my show and comment on social media are angry that you haven't taken up this opportunity that the president's given you to reject these refugees. And he gave me his explanation of why he thought it was okay. He thought they were vetted. He thought that Missouri has a history of doing this, and apparently we're taking 500 more than we did last year. And a lot of us have pointed out that it speaks to the bigger immigration problem in this country. The only way to put pressure on the broken immigration system that we have, which includes refugees, is to fix the broken immigration system that we have, which includes refugees. The governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, stood up this weekend and became the first governor to reject new refugees. And, oh, did hell rain down on him for daring to do that. You know what he pointed out? He said, Texas has taken more refugees in the last 10 years than any state in the country. On top of the fact that they have hundreds of thousands of people flooding illegally across their southern border, and the federal government refused to help up until Donald Trump became president of the United States. Let's fix the problem. And then you can take people who truly have a need for somewhere new to relocate to. That's what puts pressure on them. Governor Abbott had the guts to stand up and do that. I wish our governor had done that and other governors.
And this glorious ceremony of a couple of few days, but also the closing ceremony, the King of Belgium, the Grand Duke of Luxembourg, the President of Germany, saying when you freed Belgium and Luxembourg, you freed Germans too in winning this war. It was beautiful.
Um, Did somebody cut Nancy off?
What a horrible woman she is.
What the hell was she talking about?
I don't know. I was hoping you could explain. Can you translate Nancy Pelosi for me? Because I'm having trouble.
She's rambling on about the King of Belgium and the Grand Duke of Luxembourg and the Battle of the Ball. Did she attend some ceremony over there recently that she's talking about? I don't know. She admitted that she's now admitted the scam behind holding up these articles of impeachment. She apparently hatched the idea while hearing somebody else mention it on TV. That's when she decided she'd just hold on to him to see what happened. And her behind closed doors, her comments were, and now she said it publicly, Donald Trump is impeached and he'll always be impeached. In other words, I'm going to take my toys and go home, is her approach. She knows the minute she hands this over to the Senate, it's going to be dismissed. Mm-hmm. And then that's what the headline will be. So she wants to hang on to being able to say he's impeached for as long as humanly possible. Some people have speculated that she did it to try to hurt Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Because if there's by holding it now till what's today, the 13th, mm-hmm. let's assume the trial didn't start until next week, which it wouldn't because it would take them that long to get started. It would tie up Sanders and Warren in the week and a half or 2 weeks leading up to the Iowa caucuses, the very first votes. They couldn't be out there campaigning because they would be stuck in the Senate listening to this trial. Meanwhile, it helps the likes of Biden and Buttigieg. Of course, it would hurt Klobuchar, too, and Booker. So Biden and Buttigieg, and of course, Bloomberg and Steyer, who's jumped up in the polls a little bit. Have you watched that guy's commercials? Is there a more annoying human being on earth, maybe other than Nancy Pelosi? It's weird.
Steyer?
He's just weird. Yeah, like weird mannerisms and... I'm thinking to myself, what makes you think people are going to vote for you?
I don't think they will. I don't think most people realize he's running.
Yeah, I was going to say that name was like, oh, yeah.
Zero name recognition.
Mike Bloomberg said this weekend he will spend all of his money to beat Donald Trump. Do you believe that that's enough? Do you think somebody can buy the presidency? I mean, Trump used some of his own money to run, which simply means he didn't depend on everybody else to donate to his campaign. He still got a lot of donations, and he's raised records amounts of cash now that he's president. But do you think it's possible to buy an election like that?
I think you have a much better shot if you have your own money. I think that's the Bloomberg angle, right? He's saying he doesn't want donations from people.
No. Well, I don't know if that's it. What he's saying is what Kamala Harris pointed out. It's extraordinarily difficult to run if you don't have enough money to run your campaign. It's hard to concentrate on messaging and all those other things if you're spending all of your time fundraising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought I heard that he was purposely discouraging donations.
Oh, maybe I missed that. I don't know. He doesn't need them, clearly.
I think he's just doing this to... keep himself busy.
For ego?
That too.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I could see that.
How am I going to spend more money this year? I know. I'll run for president.
Well, he says he doesn't care if he spends all of his money. I don't think he'll probably save at least $1 billion at the end just so he has enough to, you know, make ends meet.
I wish I had those kinds of ends to meet.
I've got a story here that this morning that the Democrats are freaking out. They're alarmed at the impending all-white debate. That the party of inclusion and diversity is going to end up having a debate that has got only white candidates in it. So it started off with two black senators, a black mayor, Hispanic former cabinet secretary, and an Asian businessman. Since then, all have either dropped out or failed to qualify for a spot on the stage, which is determined by poll numbers and donations. And now the specter, if you'll excuse the pun, of an all-white debate in the mostly white state of Iowa is prompting concern among party activists. I can't help when I hear things like that. I can't help but to go back to one of my favorite quotes of all time.
What in the hell's diversity?
Well, I could be wrong, but I believe diversity is an old, old wooden ship that was used during the Civil War era.
What this flies in the face of is that the people have spoken here, right? The Democratic voters, in terms of, you know, put your money where your mouth is, have not supported these candidates of color necessarily just because of that. They had they had an option to send their money to Cory Booker or to Kamala Harris or to Julian Castro. They didn't do that. I mean, I know Andrew Yang's gotten money, but he hasn't gotten poll support. And the Democrats have had to use something to narrow their poll, their debate stage numbers. They've had to do something to narrow that down. I don't know why their party is worried about it. It's clearly their own voters who've judged who's going to be the best person to run. Shouldn't that be what it's all about? It's always been, for me, what it's all about. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I don't care if it had been Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama who won the election back in 2007, 2008. I hated their politics. I hated what they stood for and the threat they posed to America. And of course, immediately when Barack Obama was elected, everybody said the right just doesn't like him because of his skin color. Nonsense. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash I've ever heard in my life. I felt the same way about Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more I want to find out about Nikki Haley, but I would have probably no qualms unless there's something I don't know about her politics of voting for her for president in 2024. After Donald Trump's second term, which I think is
what I know and saw of her prior to her leaving. I really like her.
Yeah. So much so the glass ceiling gets shattered in 2024. Perfect. Perfect. I think that'll be outstanding. So I know they're freaking out, but come on now.
That's what confuses me about Mike Bloomberg doing this now. Why wouldn't you wait till after Trump's second term? You know you're not going to beat him. Mm-hmm. If you're going to spend all your money to be president, you have a much better shot in 4 years. Why wouldn't you just hold on to it for 4 years?
I don't know. Because he's a never...
I don't think he really wants to win.
He's a never-Trumper.
That's what people said about Trump, too. And he did. And he's doing a good job.
I don't think Trump would ever want to do anything where he wouldn't want to win.
Yeah. But that was the talk early on. Like, he's just doing it for show. He's not doing it because he actually
wants to be
president.
But I don't feel that way because of Bloomberg's money. And I think maybe people thought that because of Trump's money, maybe. I don't know.
I see
them as two completely different personalities, so I don't...
I agree with that. I don't know why he would jump in and spend all the money. It's not like he needs the name recognition if he didn't want to win.
Just late to the
touch.
Game and yeah. Then like, I don't need this and, you know, I don't know. Just doesn't seem like he really cares.
Yeah. I don't know.
One of the, you know,
do you get a tax write off if you have.
I don't think so.
Why? Why are you doing this?
Well, I get to write off some tax money.
What's
here?
The motive here?
He's never Trumper. That's the bottom line. Just like Kasich and Romney and a bunch of these other people, he's a never Trumper. They were happy to take Donald Trump's money before he was ever president. They all went to him and begged him for cash, and now they all hate him because he's not a politician. I mean, look how he's outsmarted all of them with this situation in Iraq and Iran. He's outsmarted all of them on the economy, on trade. And there's a report out this morning that the chances of there's no chance of a recession between now and election time. So the economy just hit 29, the market hit 29,000. Even if it goes down a little bit, we're not looking at recession fears between now and then. Why would you vote against him? That's what I don't understand. That's when I look at these folks on the left and I think to myself, why would you?
Who the hell wants to change what we're doing now?
I'm just saying, why would you want to go act like Bernie Sanders? Seriously. Oh, by the way, Bernie's taking a new tact with the voters out in Iowa. I'm going to let you listen to that when we come back.
Ain't that America? You and me. Ain't that America? Home of the free, baby. Home of the free. Yeah. Little pink house is for you and for me. That's socialism. I'm a democratic socialist in America.
That's Bernie's trying to appeal to a new audience out in Iowa. So he did a little karaoke with Little Pink Houses this weekend.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying? So he's,
gotcha.
Yeah.
A little slow.
Our thanks to the multi-talented Ross McCutcheon, who who not only does a spot on Bill Clinton,
he got does a pretty it better good than me, Bernie.
But he's doing a great Bernie these days. I got to give you credit, Ross. He phones these in, and they're just outstanding.
So many tricks up his sleeve.
He does. No he kidding. Sounds just like him. I don't know who else he does. I wonder if he does a Bloomberg. I mean, if you could do Bernie, maybe you could do Michael Bloomberg, because he kind of speaks in a shortened, I don't know, speech pattern. It's kind of unusual.
Well, anytime so you try to speak in the Bernie, can we just have Ron do it instead?
Ross.
Yeah. So, Ross, you're hearing from my friends here that they no longer want me to
Your
try
Bernie's
to do a Bernie.
A little better.
I don't do a good Bernie. I don't.
Can
I
you try?
Can't. I can't. I can't do a good Bernie. I just don't do it well.
It's a little Rodney Dangerfield.
Thank you. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
Oh, boy. I'll be here all week.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
I just flew in.
We need you.
My arms are still tired.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
What are we going to do with those guys? I don't know. You brought this up a few minutes ago. I saw this story headline this morning. Wouldn't you want to kill your kid, the kid that put the sign up in the window? Where did that happen?
California, Northern California, somewhere. Do you have the story?
Yeah, well, the girl's what? Lady's driving down the street and...
The kid just put up a sign that said, hey, help me, this is not my mom. Help, help. So driver's obviously called 911.
Can you imagine?
Like, how mad would you be? The mom had no idea. And then the police afterwards...
How old is this kid?
I need more information here.
11, I think.
Oh, boy.
I would be...
I think 11. It just says a young girl, and in the story that I read, a child's handmade sign in a window reading, help me, she's not my mom, turned out to be a hoax. The highway patrol said the girl's mom was not aware.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Well, and then they released a statement, something along the lines of, you need to be aware of what your kid's doing in the backseat. Like, I don't really know that this is on the mom.
Oh,
this
no
kid
way.
Needs a whooping.
They tried to turn that around on the mom needs to know what the kid's what? Doing in the backseat. Okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, keeping your eyes on the road. Yeah. I mean,
technically, there's no way to really reprimand a child from a legal standpoint, so I guess it does fall on the parent, but...
No, there's not
no
much
more markers and paper for you in the backseat.
No way. I'm like, I'd
me.
Be like, okay, yeah, she's not mine. Take her. Whatever.
They did say she should
she's
pay
now
more
up for adoption.
Right.
You should pay more attention to what your kids are doing in the backseat.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she was. Obviously, like, you give your kid, you know, some crayons or markers and some paper, and you think they're coloring.
But,
I mean,
but isn't
there's something wrong with an 11-year-old that would write that. There's something else going on here. That's like... That's just crazy.
It's not a funny joke.
No.
It's a bad call, child.
Isn't it? It's probably some sort of rule in California where they'll arrest you if your eyes aren't forward on the road instead of looking back in the back seat to see what your kid's doing. The kid ought to be strapped in, you know, minding its own business, and the kid puts up this sign, and wow.
I would say in the lecturing the parents thing, yeah, your kid should know better. I will, like, I don't know. I guess most people don't have a conversation.
I've
like
never
this,
had a conversation with my child about not writing signs to put it up in the car.
Imagine how mad you would be. The police had to do a high risk stop, which means they came flying down the highway with lights on and screeched in front of this woman to stop the car, and then got out and found out that it was a prank in the back seat.
Whoa.
Grounded for a year.
Forever.
Ever, maybe.
Until you're an adult.
Still thinking adoption.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.